chosen not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people. I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so that we can work together and unify our great country.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the 2016 election of president, the day after. My guest, Deborah Simmons, with The Washington Times. Dr. Michael Fauntroy, political science professor here at Howard University, and Drew Elands, political commentator. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Deborah, Ben Carson, what's the point about that?
The point is to make sure Americans know that it wasn't just Trump and a bunch of other white men who were running and working on his campaign and who were in his ear. That's the point to make. And he made a point of that, but I noticed that none of the major networks mentioned that. The first thing that they always mentioned was, and Mayor Giuliani was there, and Mayor Giuliani was there. He might be Homeland Security Secretary. Mm-hmm. He might be
Attorney General.
And that sort of thing. And I think it was important that he gave that deliberately, went out of his way to give that shout out last night.
Here's my question, and I want to make sure we go to this, because all day, and I know you've heard it as well, we've been hearing the jokes about cotton fields and all that other kind of stuff, Jim Crow and the like, now that we have a president-elect Donald Trump. Is that an overreaction? And why, Drew, are black folks seeming to be so fearful of a Trump administration?
Because of the fact he has been endorsed by KKK, when you have folks like David Duke who have been outwardly supportive, when you have someone with the alt-right who is alt-right, i.e. racist, who is running his campaign, that also emboldens them and give them a lot more credibility, and go back to what I said earlier of normalizing racism in this country. You know, in last year, 2015, we had a college fraternity, Sigma Alpha Epsilon, who emboldenly, brazenly were on a bus saying, "We will hang by a tree," and they can never be a part of SAE. That is what they said. And that is why you also saw an abundance of college-educated white women go for Donald Trump, because underlining is who we are. And I'm a Southern Belle. And so I'm not going to allow myself to be fearful, but I'm ever watchful. And so what I mean by that is they are very concerned because of the things that he has said. When he used the term law and order, no, cotton field, yes, there's an over-exaggeration. There's some hyperbole there. But when he talked about the term of law and order and the fact of being endorsed by the FOP, who has fundamentally been the roadblock in making sure that some of these killer cops been put to jail, when he has somebody like that around them, there is cause to have concern. Me, personally, me and my family, financially, a Trump presidency is all right. Right. As far as taxes and all of that. But raising a black son and having a black husband and looking like I look, I'm sorry. There is a problem there. And I think that there is a need for concern. And I think that we should not look over it as if there is no need for that to be there. But there is an area of concern. And I believe fundamentally that there are things in place when you start talking about going all the way down legislatively from the state and local down to the dog catcher. There are things that can be put in place that we were asleep at, and that we understand what this actually means. But not only that, what we have to tell our children about what this presidency means and how it talks about having someone who can say the things that they say, who can be the way that they are, who can talk about people and others the way that they have, but yet can lead the country and yet can take the keys from someone to the White House who basically he told them, "Boy, show me your papers." See, when it's that kind of thing, yeah, they have cause to be concerned. Never say never.
So what you're saying is that, you know, all that rhetoric as of this morning,
but
became legitimate.
But not only that, it, not, it,
It crystallized.
But like, again, I said earlier, we noticed that our white friends that we grew up with, that we've called friends, aren't truly there for us. They're not truly our ally. A lot of them that we saw because of how they voted, and they felt like it was okay to disregard what he actually said about people who do not look like him and people who look like me that you say you're my friend.
Real quick, Dr. Fauntroy, you had a number that you talked about off air earlier today. Talk to me about that.
Well, that was the 29% Latino.
That was the 29%, right. Yeah.
But there's another point that needs to be made that's connected to a number. As of late this afternoon, Hillary Clinton was leading in the popular vote.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So we need to be careful with some of this concern. We need to put it in its proper context. Donald Trump won the Electoral College. There's no question about that. There's also no question that Donald Trump got, surprisingly to me, at least 29% of the Latino vote. To me, that explains why he won the election. Black turnout appears to have been strong within historical norms, and so there's no shade there. But between what happened with the Latino vote, what happened with non-college educated white women, and we haven't mentioned yet the potential impact of the James Comey letter. You know, you add it all up and it just ends up being a very unusual election that has buffeted the country and helped to create some of this uncertainty. But again, this dude did not get a mandate. He did not run away with the White House. And it may turn out that Hillary Clinton is going to be a historical footnote in the same way that Al Gore was.
Indeed. Let's go to Tyrone, calling from Virginia. What's on your mind, Tyrone? Tyrone, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Lisa, calling from Gaithersburg. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing just fine.
I actually I heard the comments of the African-American woman who said she voted for Trump because of abortion and her opinion on gay marriage. I've heard a number of African-Americans who don't really consider themselves conservative talk about, they don't wear the conservative label, but they have those same concerns. And my concern is that the Democratic Party underestimated their support, this group's support for Trump. And I'd like to get your guest's opinion of that. And also, what impact do they think President Clinton's crime bill or the results of the crime bill had on black voter turnout?
Oh, actually, you mean when the mandatory minimums and
three strikes,
getting black folks locked up, and Obama's trying to set them free? I think, one, that had a lot to do with it, but I believe it was Virginia, and correct me if I'm wrong, Virginia's Governor Terry McAuliffe, former DNC chairman, is leading the charge in that arena about reentry for ex-felons and restoring their voting rights.
Yes.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it is Terry McAuliffe that's leading that effort.
Can I just speak to that? The crime bill had virtually no impact on the voter turnout, and the 8% that the Republicans got is the 8% or around those numbers that they're going to always get. So they are always accounted for as far as those who are conservative and black. But I will tell you, when I walked the streets in Philly, knocking on doors, there was a black woman that came up to us and said, well, you need to tell Hillary to do something about these boys that's hanging out on this corner. Because see, if you lived, everything has to be in context. And in 1994, black folks was like, we got to do something about this crime. And so, yeah, they overperformed. But when it all went to Congress and we started
law and order,
and when they went to Congress, actually, who added stuff and put on stuff, he still signed it. Yes, he did. But there were black folks who were thinking of some of us as super predators.
And
it did not have anything to do.
And
there was no uproar from what I remember in 1994, not from my mama, not from folks that I know that time, around that term, because they wanted something done.
But if you were in Washington, D.C. during the 1990s and, dare I say, during the 1980s as a native, open-air drug markets, young black boys who didn't know their fathers or who didn't know their grandfathers because they were victims or participants in these open-air drug wars, and D.C. was the murder capital. And so you talk about, I'm not saying that Hillary Clinton is right or wrong, but you do have to look at the context of what was happening at the time, because anybody can sit, I mean, you can sit around and talk about Thomas Jefferson being a great president, but he still owned slaves.
Hello.
And so, you know.
That, not only that, he fathered.
Yeah, well, okay. And then there's that.
Let me just add quickly in terms of the context of it all. And for me, proportion and context is really important in whenever you're talking about political issues. But we got to remember that the crime bill came out of after the 1994 elections, when the Republicans took control with a contract with America. All right. That bill was put on his desk by Newt Gingrich and congressional Republicans. And he didn't have, I mean, he's clearly supported it, but it's not like he had a whole lot of options.
But he signed, right.
I said he signed it.
But if he didn't, vetoed it, there was enough to overturn even his veto.
Listen, there were Democrats supporting that bill.
Right.
This was a time in which people were scared all over the place.
That's the point that I was making.
And so, again, when policy is made in a climate of fear, problems happen.
Exactly.
And the crime bill is one of those problems. And we spent a lot of time on it here, but the truth of the matter is there's no evidence that it made a significant impact yesterday.
No.
Again, 88% of the vote went to her. I don't know how big the pie was, but she got the usual slice that it
did. Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Let me go back.
He overperformed.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Let us talk to Michelle calling from Bowie. Hey, Michelle, what's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Hi there.
A couple of things. You touched on it earlier about when Donald Trump started out. Remember, everything was so negative that made your mind, and people changed their mind. And then you talked a little bit about how he was able to reach those people in the rural areas. Promising a coal mine to bring back coal and all those sorts of type of jobs. So I think we as a nation, we should have just gotten out and vote. You have a lot of millennials who did not vote because of they didn't like this person or that person. A lot of things happened, and we were asleep, that we missed a lot of the opportunity to voice our vote yesterday.
Okay. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for your comment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tyrone, calling from Virginia. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead, Tyrone.
Oh, yes. Two trains of thoughts I want to leave you, your thought process here. The first being that Donald Trump said that he's going to appoint the former Mayor Giuliani as his special prosecutor. Now, mind you, I'm a retired police officer detective out of New York, and we talk about the stop, question, and frisk.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole idea of the stop, question, and frisk was totally inappropriate, the way the tool that it was set out to be, how it was supposed to be utilized. That's number one. And number two, America, it just showed you what America is willing to accept. Now, we had a man who is appointed to the highest land office job in America. And he talked about a particular race that they were murderers, drug dealers, and rapists. They should go to jail. But here is a man who degraded women, admitted to touching their private parts, and he's running and won the highest land of job in the office.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, what is America really set up and what they're willing to tolerate?
Yeah. Well, you make a great point, Tyrone. One of the things that I saw on social media today, and I thought it was really profound, they said President Obama is what we aspire to. Donald Trump is who we are. And, and I know. How about that?
Mm.
I saw it. I wish I had, that was my quote, but it's not. Tyrone,
thank you so much. Just do like Melania and just claim it for yourself.
No attribution, no need to.
Well, I'll attribute that to social media. CJ, D.C., what's on your mind?
Yes, I have a couple of points that I want to make.
Well, make them real quick, CJ. Got a lot of folks on the line.
Real quick, but this last night before the polls closed, I had asked a couple of African American men in this area, and they said no, I didn't vote because I didn't like either candidate. I think what they slept on was the evangelical community, and they were very silent. But when I heard the record numbers of the evangelical community came out, 82%, that is huge. And I think Renee is not the only person that felt that way. I had a lot of black friends who felt that if Donald Trump, they voted for him, and they voted because they were pissed because President Obama signed that same-sex marriage bill, and they were also upset about the abortion, and they made the election about just those two points without looking at the full picture.
CJ, thank you for your point. I got to take a break. We appreciate your phone call. When we come back, Jamila from Camp Springs, James from Virginia, we'll be back in just a moment, the day after election 2016. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue the conversation about the 2016 election, the day after. Let us talk to Jamila calling from Camp Springs. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to make 2 points.
Real quick.
The first point I'd like to make, I think Hollywood has a whole lot to do with the way we run our lives in this country.
Why do you say that?
People look at Hollywood for everything. I feel that when we keep showing our black men interacting with their white women, whether it's in the movies, films, Dancing with the Stars, you got these white women sliding up under these black men's grouches.
Go ahead, Jamila.
Are not going to get mad with us. I say leave their women alone.
Jamila, back up.
Yes.
What do interracial relations have to do with this election?
Everything. Leave their women alone. You got these men in rural America now. Let's talk about who voted for him. Who not is doing as good as you are. And their women is running to you, whether they're the basketball guy, the football guy. They're running where the money is. So they're leaving them back there in the woods. And I don't want to sound, white or anything like that.
Of course
but
not.
It's the truth. and we just need to leave their women alone. We're pissing these people off. I say leave their women alone.
Okay, so what's your second point?
My second point, I heard no one but one guy last night. I stayed up all night. I am so tired.
About the hacking, we all are.
The hacking. I haven't heard anyone say, why does Donald Trump keep among only Russian women? Does he have something against his own American white women? What? Is something wrong with that? I've never heard anyone
Jamila, let me stop you right there. Obviously, you have a thing with white women and European women, and I don't know where you're going with that, but I'm going to let you go. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. James, calling from Virginia. What's on your mind?
Hi,
James?
How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine.
Beautiful. I just want to firstly say to Barack Obama that you have been a great president, and your act is going to be a hard act to follow. I want to give kudos to Barack Obama's position as the president of the United States. Secondly, the situation with Donald Trump, me personally, it's like I have that same feeling that I had 12 years ago when that president became president, where I'm not really looking forward to January 18th or whenever the 18th.
Why is that, James? James, let me move you to your point. Why did you feel it then? Why do you feel it now?
I mean, it's like you don't have any, he hasn't given anybody any hope of any sort. It's like, you know, he didn't come up with any kind of plan of what he's going to do. It's like, okay, I'm going to build a wall, and if somebody messes with America, or I'm going to deport people, you know, there's nothing to really look forward to with this guy.
Well, yeah, let me say this, James, before I let you go. Depending on where you live and the color of your skin, what you say is right and wrong. And I think that you and I think that you're making a great point without even realizing that you're making a great point, because obviously you don't care about the wall and you don't care about some of those other things. But there are people in this country. What? How many? 10 million or more?
11, yeah.
Or 11 million.
Yeah. That Listen, do, we don't know. It's 10. It could be 20. Who knows?
That voted. Oh. And I'm saying that voted that care about those issues. Yeah. And I think that that is the interesting point. But I appreciate it, James. And, you know, just remember, you know, one way or another, the sun is going to come out tomorrow. Let us hope that we're there to see it. Speaking of which, one of the other points, and you know, you all can speak on this. And Dr. Fornchoy, I'll ask you first. A lot of people, and it was suggested to me that the man that we saw during the campaign is not the president that we're going to see. I disagree, but I also believe that even with a Republican-controlled House and Senate, that it's not going to be a blank check, and that the things that Donald Trump suggested that he was going to do during the campaign, that the U.S. Congress is not going to say yes to everything.
Therein lies one of the real tragedies of this campaign. He won making a bunch of promises that he knows he's not going to be able to keep, even with a Republican Congress. Deborah says there's going to be a wall, different size, maybe a little smaller.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a wall at all. We got what we have. And here's why. Border state Republicans don't want a wall because that's going to endanger their position in Congress.
Yep.
All right. They don't want that wall.
And business people. Don't want that wall.
And then you look on this whole business of the Rust Belt promises on the economy. We're going to bring back these jobs. Those jobs are gone. The cheaper labor markets abroad, and they're not coming back. And there are no reasonable economists who will tell you that there's a way to do it that won't reduce American wages back as far down as they are around the world. And yet he won. And so, you know, what candidates say during a campaign, all of them say things that a little hyperbolic, but at the end of the day, people have to hold you accountable for the promises you make.
Right.
And we're going to see how that happens, because there are a number of Republicans in Congress right now who are saying, you know, I didn't think this was going to happen, and now we got to work with this dude.
Right.
And how do I make lemonade out of these lemons?
And they're not quite sure which Trump they're going to get. They don't know if they're going to get the more liberal.
They don't care which Trump
or the conservative.
Trump is not a true conservative.
No. Right. And they don't know.
George W. Bush was not a true conservative. His daddy was not a true conservative.
I'm saying the Republicans in Congress do not
Bill
know
Clinton,
what they're going to
Bill
get.
Bill Clinton was not a progressive.
Right.
I mean, come on. Let's get over it. But we need to get over that. That's what I think. That's the number one key issue that we learned from this election, that people are not who we think they are. Number one, they lied.
He told us he wasn't who he was.
Lied before they went into the polls, so the polls were wrong. They lied after they voted, so those were wrong as well. The exit polls, some of the exit polls were wrong. That's what it is. And a majority of Americans hide behind the curtains on the internet. I don't care what social media. You don't know who those people are.
We learned a lot of people, though, this time around.
You really don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. You have people saying, I'm moving to Canada. I'm going to Greenland. They don't even know where Greenland is. I mean, really. Well, they don't even learn in school where Greenland is. So we need to get over that America is liberals against conservatives Republicans against Democrats, because if Republicans in Texas don't want the wall, believe me, Democrats in Texas don't want it either.
Right.
Yeah, but one of the things that I heard last night, Jake Tapper on CNN, and it was just one of the great stories. You know, he's from Philadelphia, and he said that he was in Philadelphia doing some interviews, and he went to some diner that's been around since Moses parted the Red Sea,
Means it doesn't serve cheesecake, chili steaks, whatever.
And he said he spoke to the owner, and he said, so who are you going to vote for? And he said the guy leaned in and he said, I'm voting for Trump, and leaned back. And he said that there are a lot of, and were a lot of, what he called leaners, people that privately would lean in and whisper Trump, but publicly would not say they would
vote. Say it out loud, yeah.
But guess what? Yeah. We had the same thing in 2008 for those leaners. There were leaners who leaned in on Obama. And who said to me, as Republicans, who said once McCain got old girl on the ticket, they were like, "Oh no, we can't vote there. We're gonna vote here because we already know he old. And if something else happened, we don't want her there. We can't trust that."
That's what the black callers who called in who were talking about the restroom and the
dresses, it's the same and gay thing. Marriage it's the and all of that.
It's the exact same thing. Right. I'm not going to say out loud that I'm anti-gay, and I might not be anti-gay, but I don't want girls and boys and men and women using the same restrooms, period. That's where they are.
Last phone call, Keith from Baltimore. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I voted for Clinton, but I just had a feeling that she wasn't going to win. And if you understand white supremacy, if you truly understand white supremacy and racism and how it's operationalized in America, I don't see why anybody is surprised that Donald Trump won. But one of the things that I will remember, I don't think that this country is going to ever heal from the way Donald Trump tore it apart.
Interesting.
I strongly feel
we were torn apart before then.
He has divided the country in such a way, race, sex, all of it, in such a way that he's not going to bring this country together. This country is going to be divided for a long time. He went somewhere where no other campaign in the history of this country has ever taken it. And the most important thing that I strongly will carry with me is the disrespect that white America has shown our current president.
Yeah, and let us say that in 72 days, our current president will not have to worry about that, at least at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And certainly we think that he has deserved the rest that he will be taking on day 74. Keith, thank you so much. We appreciate it. I want to thank Drew Elins, Dr. Michael Fauntroy, and Deborah Simmons. Thank you all so much. Boy, I tell you, everybody's getting their draws in a bunch.
I'm operating on coffee.
Yeah, operating on coffee. Look, that's it. That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, November 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, Twitter at HFisher WHUR, or at Daily Drum WHUR. I'm out of here until Monday. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night, everybody.